So, Luca, appreciate you spending some time to talk with us. What tell us about first of all, since first time we've interviewed you at our site, could you tell us about
Who am I?
who are you, how you've gotten to be an astronaut, what got you into space, all that stuff? I'm sure you've answered it 1,000 times before.
And I will be happy to answer it 1,000 more times. As long as people are interested, I'm happy to answer the question, because it's really at the base of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we even do this? You know, what brings me here? So my background is actually probably very boring to most people that look at spaceflight, because it's almost the standard. I come from military flying. I used to be a fighter pilot, and then I was a test pilot. I still am a test pilot for the Italian Air Force. And then in 2008, I applied to the European Astronaut Program, and together with 8,420 other applicants, I went through a selection program, and my class of six was selected in 2009. And since then, I've been part of the European Astronaut Corps, and since then, I flew twice in space for a total of 366 days, so one leap year.
Nice.
In two missions. I have 6 EVAs to my background, and I was Space Station Commander for Expedition 61 only 2 years ago. And I'm here today because as one of the European astronauts that might take part in the Artemis program, it would be really cool to see this candlelight.
Can you say a little bit about like what made you make that leap to go from test pilot to astronaut? Is that even a leap, I guess?
Oh, it is a leap. Yeah. Certainly it is a leap in many ways.
Yeah.
There is a human point of view, that is the leap of going from something that it's relatively known, which is atmospheric mm-hmm. flight. Whether you're a fighter pilot or a test pilot, you're part of a community that has millions of hours of flight and experiences and stories and capabilities. Test flying comes from the Wright brothers since 1903, so mm-hmm. we have over 100 years of history and checklist and knowledge about how to fly in the atmosphere. But when you go into space flight, it's a completely different environment, and there are still a lot of unknowns, which is probably the reason why I'm so attracted to it, and what made me dream about space flight from when I was a kid. I'm one of the generation of kids that grew up in the 80s looking at the first space shuttles flying and launching, and I fell in love with the idea from when I was a little boy.
And this has been primarily, it's easy to look at this as a NASA and American project, but it's of course an international program. Europe has a part of this rocket. Can you explain Europe's
certainly take in this? And you know, I understand that from an American point of view, it is obviously more important to focus on what NASA is doing and has been done, and NASA will always be the agency that put a man on the moon 50 years ago, and by doing that virtually surclassed any other space agency. But nowadays we as the European Space Agency are trying to catch up, and we want to be part of this incredible endeavor that is to go back to the moon in a sustainable way. And our interest has been in being in the co-pilot seat. We want to be there with NASA, and so our first contribution, which starts here with Artemis, is that we build the ESM, the European Service Module. Basically, if you look at the Orion spacecraft, it's what sits below the capsule.
Mm-hmm.
It provides the life control system, life support system, the control system, the computers, all the different atmosphere requirements and the energy requirements and the engine. So it's everything except for the capsule with the command and control. So we already built a few of them, and this is the first one that we will test in Artemis 1. And then as part of the general program of lunar exploration, we are also building the gateway together with NASA. Just recently I saw pictures of the first parts of this habitat that we will put in orbit around the moon,
mm-hmm.
that will make surface exploration more sustainable. And so it's exciting. It's an exciting time.
Someone who possibly would be flying on a future mission, What are you looking forward to, at today, specifically as an astronaut? Impossible to remember.
So, in general, both as a crew member, as a test pilot, as an astronaut that might possibly fly one day on the rocket, I want to look at all the tests that we will be performing. I don't know if you're familiar with the Apollo program, but everybody who's anybody mm-hmm. has always heard about three missions. Everybody knows about Apollo 1, unfortunately,
yep.
Because of the sacrifice of those brave humans. Everybody knows about Apollo 8, because it's when we left the cradle, you know, when the first time that we flew around the moon. And everybody knows about Apollo 11, for obvious reasons.
Yep.
But one of the most underrated missions, in my opinion, is Apollo 9, which is the mission around the Earth where the astronauts tested every single part of what we needed in order to land on the moon, in order to yep. go there and come back safely. And if that mission had happened, and if that mission that was extremely complex hadn't been executed perfectly, we would never have gone. And so to me, testing is not just, you're not just putting a little check mark next to a box. You are verifying that what you think and what you plan coincide with what happens. And as a test pilot, I've been part of the process for all of my for the past 15 years, and I think it's incredibly exciting, and I think it's an incredibly valuable contribution.
Awesome, thank you so much. Oh wait, one more question before I hand you back. Do you think it's happening tonight?
Well, you know, I'm bold, but that's I do not have I'm bold like a crystal ball, but I don't have a crystal ball to predict the future. So I would say that you know I hate to be schematic, but I would say that it's 50-50.
All right, thank you so much, appreciate it. Thanks for talking to me.
You're very welcome.